40 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Former President Trump is calling today's civil trial verdict a disgrace, but will have to pay $5 million to the author who'd accused him of rape. CBS's Matt Piper reports.
Donald Trump's attorney Joe Tacopina sums up the trial this way.
Strange verdict. This was a rape claim. It was a rape case all along, and the jury rejected that.
The jury found Donald Trump liable for sexual assault, but not rape. The six men and three women also found that he defamed E. Jean Carroll. In a statement, she says in part, "This victory is not just for me, but for every woman who has suffered because she was not believed." Tacopina says they plan to appeal.
CBS News has learned the Justice Department has officially filed criminal charges against embattled New York Congressman George Santos. The Republican lawmaker was sworn in back in January, despite telling a laundry list of lies to get elected. He's expected to be arrested tomorrow. Impasse at the White House. CBS's Stephen Portnoy explains.
The high-stakes meeting lasted about an hour. When it ended, House Speaker Kevin McCarthy told reporters,
"I didn't see any new movement."
The GOP-controlled House has passed a bill that raises the debt ceiling, but it contains spending cuts that the president has called draconian. McCarthy says he asked Mr. Biden for areas where the president would accept cuts.
"He wouldn't give me any, so I'm hopeful that we'll be able to find them."
They'll meet again on Friday. Texas border towns are bracing for a surge of asylum seekers later this week when Title 42 expires. Laredo Mayor Trey Mendez.
"You never really know what to expect, but I do feel that we're as prepared as we can be."
Police in Texas are still digging into a shooter's past to figure out why he shot up a mall in Allen, killing eight people. Hank Sibley's with the state's Department of Public Safety.
"We do know that he had neo-Nazi ideation. He had patches, he had tattoos. Even his signature, verified that."
Former Fox News host Tucker Carlson says he plans to relaunch his controversial talk show on Twitter.
"Twitter has long served as the place where our national conversation incubates and develops. Twitter is not a partisan site. Everybody's allowed here, and we think that's a good thing."
But he didn't give a date. It comes weeks after Carlson parted ways with Fox following the company's multi-million dollar settlement with Dominion. Looks like Lizzo's ready to hit the stage again. She's canceled a few shows after testing positive for strep throat, but she posted a message to fans about 2 hours ago, confirming she will perform tonight in Baltimore. She's also promised to reschedule any missed shows in Connecticut and Canada. This is CBS News.
Need to hire quality candidates fast? You need Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com.
The SHA 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. The man suspected of killing a Western Wisconsin deputy had a long history of lawbreaking. Minnesota officials say Jeremiah Johnson was a convicted rapist and registered sex offender with a history of violence. Prison officials in Minnesota say Johnson was out on parole for a 2016 kidnapping and rape conviction when police say he shot and killed Deputy Katie Lysing. You can expect a check from the state of Wisconsin if you used TurboTax to file your income taxes a couple of years ago. Attorney General Josh Call says Wisconsin will get about $2.5 million from the multi-million dollar settlement several states reached with TurboTax. More than 81,000 people in Wisconsin can claim about $30 apiece. In sports, the Brewers beat the Dodgers last night 9-3. Eric Lauer starts for Milwaukee tonight. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Love the outdoors, but lack the gear to explore it? River West Outdoor Pro Shop has everything you need. Rock climbing, snowshoeing, kayaking, and more. Don't know what you need? Come visit the shop located in the basement of Milwaukee Turners at 1034 North Velar Phillips Avenue. Their friendly staff will help you find what you need. For questions and hours, call 414-272-1733, extension 16. 414-272-1733, extension 16.
High pay with excellent benefits? Check. Fair treatment and safe work conditions? Check. A paid training program? Check. Check all of your career boxes with the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades of District Council 7. Experienced industrial painters and drywall finishers needed now or become an apprentice. Call Tom Coyne at 262-488-4839 today. 262-488-4839 or go to IUPATDC7.com.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
You're listening to independent programming that has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. To learn more and to see our entire broadcast lineup, go to civicmedia.us.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk on Devil Radio 92.7. Now, here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci. Educated educators talking education.
Welcome Tuesday night. It is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. We have a special guest. He's been on the show many times. He writes and speaks widely on human behavior, education, and parenting. The most recent of his 14 books are Schooling Beyond Measure and other unorthodox essays about education, The Myth of the Spoiled Child, Challenging Conventional Wisdom About Children and Parenting, and our favorite book, though, here at Busted Pencils, The Schools Our Children Deserve. Alfie Cohn, welcome back to Busted Pencils. How are you?
Doing okay, thank you.
Doing okay. So, you know, it's been a while, but you got a new blog post up, and Johnny and I caught it, and we were out there. I just want to read the title. Pay attention, class. Here come more facts for you to forget. And I'll quote from the article. It says, quote, students will soon forget much of the information they've been taught. The truth of that statement will be conceded, either willingly or reluctantly, by just about anyone who has spent time in a school. We commit a list of facts, dates, or definitions to memory, but before long, we couldn't recall most of them if our lives depended on it. Alfie, why are we revisiting this topic of forgetting facts?
Well, first, because I decided to check to make sure the research confirms what we all mostly know intuitively and from our own experience, and I dug deep to see what the study showed, and especially it was interesting because a couple of the scholarly articles on this try to reassure us that it's not as bad as we think and we remember more than we believe we do, but there are so many qualifications to that conclusion that the news on balance I think is pretty bad, and I can explain that if you want. And the other reason is because that fact, the fact of our forgetting, mm-hmm. is absolutely devastating to a resurgent view in education that calls itself core knowledge, mm-hmm. or sometimes it describes the approach in terms of a content-rich curriculum that's often based on the work of E.D. Hirsch Jr. and others. And so when these people say that schooling ought to be organized around, you know, what I call a bunch of facts,
right,
then the reality of how much we forget of that knowledge really vitiates that approach as opposed to something based more on students' understanding.
Well, when you bring this up, and I think a lot of people who listen to the Busted Pencils are already going, yeah, of course we know people forget the facts. But I want to take that in two parts too. The way you said that is this sense of going, okay, going back, checking the literature and seeing what's being said, there is a tendency to go, people might be remembering more, but you kind of lay out and say, hold on a minute. read a little bit more closely to the research. Explain that to, you know, the what appears on first sight that, hey, we might be remembering more than we thought. What are the caveats there?
Yeah, right. And by the way, this is always good when you see a study to don't just read the conclusion and discussion section at the end. Go back and look at the results. I've seen this on other topics too, including claims about homework, where the results often don't support the twist or the frame that the researcher wants to give it. So in this case, to take what was probably the major review of the research on this, it said, hey, it's not really so bad. But then when you look carefully at the studies under review, you find, first of all, most of them just looked at short-term retention, very rarely anything a year or more. And a lot of the studies also showed that people remembered only when their memory was jogged, like in a multiple choice test where you go, oh, yeah, you could circle the one that's familiar once you have a list, but they couldn't recall it. They could only recognize what they were taught. And then I think the biggest caveat is the research shows that you have to go back and revisit or rehearse, relearn the material in order for it to be remembered for years. So, for example, you're much more likely to remember what you learned in algebra if you went on to take higher level math in college.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a huge caveat. If you don't go back to it, indeed, as we thought, it tends to disappear.
So rehearsing, practicing, memorizing tricks, guess what? They do produce a little bit of ability. And I like the way we say this, to remember. It's not that we're calling on a deep knowledge of understanding. It's a potential flash in the brain of going, oh, yeah, I remember that now. But as you said, though, it's even to talk about that, it requires some form of prompting, even for most of us, to remember, hopefully not to remember when the War of 1812 was, but even potentially those types of trivial facts can be a bit problematic without some form of prompting.
Right, which is why, especially, say a high school teacher or college instructor really needs to sit down while setting up a course, planning a course, and ask, what can I reasonably expect these students to remember a few years from now? Which is a very unsettling question if you ask it of yourself honestly. And if the answer is, not much, a stray fact here or there, devoid of context, then what the hell are you doing it for? And what does that mean about the way you teach? What can reasonably be expected?
Yeah, isn't that, so when you think about that, that's the button we're pushing is, well, why are we doing this? And this frame of going, what is, schooling good for? Or maybe, what is the difference between schooling and / learning as we're talking about those issues?
Right.
Maybe they're different. And maybe, can you comment on me putting out schooling versus learning?
Yes. We would hope that learning is the key enterprise going on during schooling, but a lot of researchers who talk about learning just mean memorizing facts. For example, there's been some popular books and articles and scholarly articles in the last 10 years or so that say, what really helps students to learn is not just sort of, there was one just by Dan Willingham in the New York Times a few days ago, that said, you can't just go back and reread before your test. You got to sort of quiz yourself. You got to play all these other tricks that are more effective at learning. But by learning, they just mean coughing up information, stray little amputated bits of knowledge on a test. And so it's not enough to say, we think education is important as long as we construe it in terms of learning, because that word, like so many other words, has been diluted or reconstrued to mean something rather traditional. The question we want to ask is, what kind of learning do you mean that takes place in education? And that's where it's really interesting to look at these studies again, which find that students tend to remember more when, first, the learning is active, which is to say that students play a real role in learning by doing, and it's about discovery, than they learn when they're just taught by lectures or textbooks and direct instruction. Now, that more progressive kind of education helps students to love learning more and to think more deeply, but it turns out it even has an advantage with respect to the more traditional, the more conventional criterion of how much of it do you recall later.
Yeah, right, so the depth of remembering. I love that part for you to emphasize that part is that even if the goal is remembering, schooling as, you know, quote, teaching surface memory is probably a pretty bad way to achieve longer term memory.
Yeah, that's right. It fails, to put it a different way, it fails even by its own dubious standard.
Right.
Which is, how much do you remember? But when you look at those studies of the teachers who got better, even memory results by looking at more active student-centered types of teaching, those teachers also had more ambitious goals. They were more interested in helping students to understand rather than just remember a bunch of facts. Or to put it differently, the curriculum, what we're teaching, and the pedagogy, how we're teaching, are often related to each other. More traditional in one often means more traditional in the other. If I'm teaching a bunch of facts, I'm probably going to do it by lecturing. If I'm more interested in deep understanding, I'm probably going to have a more progressive approach. So we don't know which of those is the more powerful predictor of better, of more remembering. And it probably turns out to be the case that both are involved, but, and here's the gorgeous paradox, the more teachers are concerned about having students just learn content, the less effective they are at helping students to remember that content.
Okay, so is that a dilemma?
It's a paradox. It's not a dilemma, because both, it would be a dilemma if progressive pedagogy and curriculum were inversely related.
Okay.
Like you'd have to choose one. But in fact, they're directly related, which means if you're helping students to focus more on understanding than just remembering stuff, and you have a progressive approach to have a hands-on, student-led kinds of active forms of instruction, you're going to benefit in many ways, including by the traditional criterion of what are they going to remember years from now.
Oh, we are talking to Alfie Cohn, our favorite education author, researcher, highlighter, commenter, helping us understand and see what's really happening out there in schoolrooms, whether it be dealing with research or how it is with learning. Alfie, when we get back, though, I want to then apply this to what we hear so often, learning loss. When we get back, more with Alfie Cohn and learning loss.
Are record high energy and water costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With inflation rising at record levels and incomes not keeping pace, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive. While you may not ask for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to be without heat, water, or power. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-273-8255. 800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.heat.help. That's www.heat.help.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, your home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Here's your Mad Radio forecast. Partly cloudy skies tonight with lows around 51. Southeasterly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Mainly clear tomorrow, highs around 78. Tomorrow night, lows around 52. Temperatures a bit above average Thursday and Friday with highs from the mid-70s to the upper 70s. Chance for scattered thunderstorms Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 69 degrees.
On air at 92.7 megahertz frequency modulation and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Well, I don't know if I can speak that fast. Tim Mickleth, Rise Against, Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk. We are here truly shaking things up. Our guest, Alfie Cohn, he has a new blog, Pay Attention Class. Here come more facts for you to forget. Alfie, we're talking about the long-term or lack of long-term effects on, quote, remembering by this approach to learning. But this does, though, this frame, particularly earlier in the fall, though, this massive concern, and I was wondering how we might look at this differently, this phrasing. Learning loss. The pandemic caused 2.4 years of reading learning loss of fourth graders in America. I'm a parent. I'm alarmed. Give me some sense of why that might not be really what's happening.
Again, it depends on what we mean by learning.
Okay.
So it is probably true that if you're out of school for a while over the summer, which is where the term learning loss originated with research on that, or for a while during the pandemic, you know, you may forget the difference between a simile and a metaphor, you know, or the steps for long division or you know, whatever it is you're working on. A bunch of the chief exports of Peru. So there's learning loss in that sense. But is that the kind of learning that matters? Well, we've already established that kids are going to forget this stuff after school anyway.
Right.
But when students are actively involved in understanding ideas from the inside out, of making sense of concepts, rather than just learning to borrow from the tens place, they've been helped to really construct meaning around the idea of place value. They know what that means. Mm-hmm. Or instead of just learning, you know, what you're supposed to put in the hypothesis section of your lab write-up, but instead you were the one who got a chance to design the experiment to test the hypothesis, you don't forget that. The other example I give...
Go ahead, please, another example.
The other example I gave in the piece is, you know, as opposed to learning what iambic pentameter is or whatever, or how many sentences should be in your each paragraph of your essay, instead of that garbage, if you're helped to think about the impact your writing is going to make on a reader, how the reader is going to view it, again, that learning doesn't get lost. So when people talk about learning loss, and they are, first of all, they're talking only about an impact on standardized test scores.
Okay, good.
And humorously, many of the press releases that were uncritically picked up by the mass media during the pandemic, warning of the grave examples of learning loss, came from NWEA, which is a standardized test producer. You know, it's unbelievable. Nobody even takes a moment to look at that. But when these people warn of this, they're not telling us, here is the grave problem whenever kids are out of school, so by God, get them some more remedial instruction of the same type that didn't work when they were in school last. What they're doing, whether they realize it or not, is indicting traditional education that's based on content in the sense of items of knowledge. They're telling us the problem isn't with school. The problem is with conventional schooling that is focused on memorizing stuff they can look up and teaching it in a traditional way.
But that's never framed that way. The way you just said that is it's exactly. Never an indictment. It's always instead it's used as an indictment of the, you know, those crappy teachers, those lousy health people who made us close down for COVID. It's never internally or not internally, but we never say, you know what? Maybe the approach to teaching and learning has never itself actually created, quote, long-term deep learning. And maybe we shouldn't be surprised that after a pandemic with, you know, sporadic types of schooling that, remembering things that are assessed, as you just said, through large, quote, objective, whatever objective means, standardized tests, that if we were trying to get at and measure learning differently, we would then maybe say, hey, the whole enterprise itself is failing, as opposed to going learning loss, bad teachers, bad people, bad, 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 bad.
Exactly. It's an indictment of standardized tests as an outcome measure. It's an indictment of traditional forms of direct instruction through lectures, worksheets, quizzes, and the like. And most of all, it's an indictment of construing education or learning itself as merely retaining a bunch of knowledge.
Keep going.
Go on.
Knowing that, though, and I think, you know, we're at this and, you know, only got two more minutes left. And again, the time always goes so fast when we're talking to you. How do I... You know, maybe even a parent who goes, I'm suspecting that. How might I challenge a school district and or move? Let's just say a movement that's saying, hey, your kids lost learning, to go, hey, schools, maybe we ought to think about what it is we mean by learning. I mean, how do we make this message come across? Because once again, and I don't know if you saw the latest report by James Harvey that came out in the Washington Post, where he's like, look, 40 years ago, first of all, the facts on a nation at risk, disaster. And we've created this disastrous teaching and learning conditions all along the idea of going, we think a lot of kids have forgotten everything. If that's not our goal, then how do we get people to change the goal?
Well, I mean, to some extent, you answer your own question.
Right.
But because I mean, the way you respond to it is by reframing it. Well, and I mean, the simplest way is simply to say, what do you mean by learning?
Right.
And there's going to be an interesting conversation that takes place. What kind of learning loss? And pretty soon people will, you don't have to memorize my answer, you know, appropriately enough. As soon as you ask that question, you will find yourself sort of reconstructing this and saying, well, it's a bunch of facts that tend to be forgotten. And you're right. But that doesn't mean, oh my God, we got to do remedial work to cram even more facts.
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
CBS News Special Report. President Biden sat with congressional leaders for an hour at the White House today to talk about the debt ceiling. Mr. Biden says of House Speaker Kevin McCarthy's plan to avert a government default.
He's proposed deep cuts that I believe are going to hurt American families. Millions of Americans relying on Medicaid for their health care would be at risk of losing that.
The president says it was a productive meeting, but Speaker McCarthy says he didn't see any new movement today from the president and the other Democrats toward ending the debt ceiling impasse.
I would hope that he'd be willing to negotiate for the next 2 weeks so we could actually solve this problem and not take America on the brink.
CBS's Stephen Portnoy.
The GOP-controlled House has passed a bill that raises the debt ceiling, but it contains spending cuts that the president has called draconian.
The president and congressional leaders will meet again on Friday. He says he could cancel his G7 trip to Japan later this month if the debt ceiling isn't resolved. CBS News Special Report, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
The Shaw 101 FM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnair. Here's what you need to know. Young voters in Wisconsin had the highest turnout in the nation for the November election. Data from the Census Bureau shows nearly half of voters aged 18 to 24 cast a ballot, though that data is subject to a wide margin of error. Also in the top 10 for youth voter turnout, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Georgia, and Colorado. As of tomorrow, the White House is ending the COVID-19 public health emergency. Wisconsin residents can still order 2 free at-home COVID tests per household per month through the state's Say Yes COVID test program, but only while supplies last. Stockpile expected to run out by the middle of this month. Wisconsin Department of Health Services Deputy Secretary Deb Standridge says COVID will be part of our lives going forward. That's why it's still important to get vaxxed and boosted. I'm Jane Matnair. This is Civic Media News.
The 4 most dreaded words.
My computer is down.
Oh boy, that bites. Remain sane. PC It Back Together will fix the pain. Rated number 1 PC doctor in Southeast Wisconsin. Great service, great rates, and fast service with no trip charge. Experts with PCs, laptops, network servers, protection, backups, and can even help you remotely. Click PCItBack.com or call us at 262-706-3235. That's 262-706-3235. Remain sane. We fix the pain.
Baseball and hot dogs, they go together like front porches and rocking chairs. And with Village Hearth Buns, you don't have to go to your local ballpark to enjoy a really good hot dog. Just grill up a package of quality Franks and serve with your favorite toppings on a Village Hearth Bun. They're the same delicious buns served at baseball stadiums throughout the Midwest. Village Hearth Buns, baking our best for you.
Are you an experienced industrial painter, drywall finisher, or want to be? Do you want more than a job, but a high-paying career where your interests are well-represented, ensuring a safe work environment? The International Union of Painters and Allied Trades of District Council 7 wants you. Bring your knowledge or ask about paid training. Learn more now. Call Tom Coyne, 262-488-4839, 262-488-4839, or go to the union's website, iupatdc7.com.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues from the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m.
Let It Education Talk. The number's 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Alfie Cohn, great guest, first half hour, learning loss. Oh my goodness, let's not get that upset about it. It's really about the fact of remembering. If you have something you've forgotten when you were in school, give us a call, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Johnny, I like what Alfie talks about this, and I wonder, you know, if we could tease this apart, is that, so if you're listening and somebody says, oh my God, learning loss, that you should hear that not as, holy crap, my kid lost this incredible amount of learning. It's that if we are, quote, measuring learning loss, and in fact, measuring how much kids remembered, the reality is that the schooling, the education your child was receiving wasn't that good. So learning loss isn't a measure that says, necessarily the all of the horrible things that are about to happen, economic deprivation, your kid's never going to amount to anything. Learning loss really is an indictment of a system that says remembering stray random facts is the main goal. And you know what? It looks like right here we've measured that kids have forgotten things. If they've forgotten it, was it even important to remember in the first place, Johnny Lupinacci?
Oh, man, Tim, you know, it's always good to be learning from Alfie and, you know, how many years and years of having his voice, you know, shine light on the complex issues of not only what's going on in our schools, but really the importance of all of us taking a step back and really asking those questions about what is it we want our children learning? Who are the citizens that we want them to become in our communities, and what are the skills they need to get there? And so, you know, I think it reminds us to do inventory. We're living in a changed world, right? What are the things that we really care about as experts, whether it's in the field of mathematics or in English language arts or in social studies, you know, or in the arts in general, or PE? What do we want young people to get from being together with us in schools? And we've been on autopilot, maybe even asleep at the wheel, you know, for several decades at least, at what was important to learn in school. And we are living in changed times. And so we're long overdue for doing that kind of inventory on, you know, what is it we want to measure? What is it we value in our communities? And learning loss, I mean, Tim, we've done show after show on this, right? And Alfie reminds me of this, you know, is that learning loss is a whole discourse. It's a whole label to put blame on kids and teachers and schools. I'm not saying that every school is perfect out there, that every kid is, you know, perfect. Although, like, I do think, you know, kids come to us pretty, you know, pretty much not responsible. Like, we're responsible for them. We don't blame them for where they're at with things. But in general, it's a move to blame teachers, to blame parents, to blame students. When, you know, Alfie gives us a generative kind of nudge. Why don't we take a look at what we're assessing? Why don't we take a look at how we're teaching and what we're teaching, and create a priority list, right? Okay. Because if we get that list going, and we work together for those kinds of assessments, you know, we're going to see something different than the kinds of metrics that are popping up when we enter that world that's now labeled learning loss. You know, it really highlights certain knowledges, like you had mentioned here and Alfie talked about in the first half of the show. You know, it emphasizes memorizing stuff that probably, you know, doesn't really matter in the context of surface level knowledge. But that is probably relatively important when we get into why are we learning these things, and what are they giving us in terms of skills that we carry with us into our lives as community members? Boom. Now we go from there.
But what you just said is that, you know, as these skills translate into, you know, responsible, ethical citizens, community members, neighbors, you know, family members, if we're really concerned about that as the outcome, then looking at standardized test score drops, even if we show indications that there is a drop, there's no real indication in that type of an assessment that really anything important. We have no ability to understand whether or not a child is going to be a responsible citizen and go out and work for the betterment of their community. In fact, I think I'm even hearing Alfie say that if we're only concerned about remembering information, there's a pretty good chance that we have an education system that isn't actively educating for citizenship. You know, and I think about that, and you know, in the first part there, I had mentioned quickly with Alfie the article that showed up in the Washington Post 2 weeks ago by James Harvey, one of the original people who were there at the writing of A Nation at Risk, 1983, 40 years ago, and
where we are today that we are absolutely concerned, you know, pearl clutching around people remembering. Boy, I look back and I think, you know, about that piece that I read from James Harvey, and it says, you know, even at the fact that a nation at risk was built on a false premise of people actually remembering and or not remembering, the reality of a nation at risk has turned public schools into remembering factories. If you were part of that remembering factory, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. I mean, I think about that type of an effect and, you know, all of the conversations we've had about good teachers, you know, what we should be doing, citizenship, democracy. When we put it up against the fact that actually we have a school system that, you know, 40 years ago was turned into a system that is about remembering pretty much useless information, are we surprised about the potential of citizenship maybe slightly being a little bit hard to assess, not really sure what's going on out there, but that the focus of schooling has been away from community standards and really focused on this very narrow sense of academic achievement? And really, academic achievement, for my neighbor who's listening, it's really not about academic smarts and intelligence. It's really about saying, how much do you remember? I said, I put it out for anybody who wants to call in, 844-967-2789. If you had a great teacher, was it because they made you remember? Or is it because they made you think and then you held on to that? And the memory of learning is not a memory of the facts that they taught you, but a memory of that experience that they put you in. Johnny, I think that's what we're trying to talk about, right?
I mean, yeah, it is. And I'm gonna just push at this a little bit though, Tim, because I think what we know too is that sometimes you gotta remember some things.
Okay.
You know, and so there is a place for a lot of the kinds of things we learned and memorized. But what I think we're emphasizing here is that good learning and good teaching doesn't stop at the memorization. Right. It isn't only about that. It's utilizing, you know, putting our brains to work, our capacity to remember things on call, whether that be with assistance from notes or different things. But it's really about putting it to use. Mm. And sometimes it's helpful to memorize. I mean, I'm going to think about like sight words in our early learners. These are important things where we begin to teach young people that reading isn't always about sounding everything out. You also sound things out, but some stuff you just see it, you recognize it, and you run with it. Does that work for every single kid? No. Does that mean kids that don't memorize all their sight words are doomed? No. It just means that there are different skill sets for everyone to put their mind to work in ways that apply those skills in everyday life. You know, multiplication, addition, we can break it down and know how to do it conceptually, but also, you know, it helps to kind of memorize your times tables a little bit. So there's like a place for both. But if we only focus on the memorization and we only test and assess in ways that reward memorization or surface level learning disproportionately to application, oh boy, are we doomed. And I think that's where we kind of meet on things, Tim, too. And we're saying like, well, we've done that. The latter is where we've kind of gone down that road. And if you've memorized a bunch of stuff and you pull it up well on the bubble tests, then you are moving up the ladder.
Right.
But here's the spoiler alert. The ladder doesn't lead to anywhere. Okay.
Wait a minute. All these people who do well on these tests, Johnny, come on. You just told them that ladder doesn't go anywhere.
No. I mean, at some point, you have to apply.
Okay.
Okay. You have to be able to apply it. So I'm not saying everyone who goes up that ladder, you know, gets to the top and just kind of bloop, like a lemming falls off. But every single learner at some point in real life, like outside of school, has to apply what they've learned, okay, to go to whatever that next level is. We'll say like to grow up, to be an adult, to be, you know, contributing member of a democratic society. You have to put it to practice. And the more we, the more time we spend in schools, both learning and practicing what we learn in real life scenarios, the better we're all going to be at it. And so now looking at these 40 years, the trend was learn more, learn more, learn more, learn more, learn more. And what did it rob? It robbed, learn to apply it, learn to apply it. We just kept pulling from application and into learning. So we jam-packed kids' brains full of stuff that they don't know what to do with.
Well, we've jammed it. We've tried to jam it packed, and we keep, though, getting upset when we use tests, right? Because somebody always comes back and says, darn it, Johnny Lupinacci, your students don't remember. Your students don't remember. Public schools are failures at producing memory. I don't want to say our public schools are failures at producing memories, but public schools are failing. And we know this because every time we give some form of a round of standardized testing that is, again, based on a very big faulty logic, a nation at risk, this idea of pushing facts as the only things that matter, it's a problem. 844-967-2789. The number is 844-967-2789. Memories, though, Johnny, you know, remembering, though, as you just said, you know, when the absolute pinnacle achievement that we believe is some form of remembering, and then we continually hear that people don't remember, I think that's one of the ways that we might be able to start breaking through, to start saying, okay, how do we have a system? Because you are right, and I am not making a claim that the facts and things like that that you need to remember are useless. The reality is, though, is if we want people to use remember, to have a sense that these things are important, then what you just said is that application, using the application in the performance part, right? You know, doing something, remembering matters when you go to use it.
That's right. And Tim, I know we got to take a break, but when we come back, man, I got a story about pizzas and TVs.
Okay, pizzas and TVs. I love that. Pizzas, TVs, a nation at risk. Assessment, we just had a great guest. Assessment and remembering. Alfie Cohn. It's Busted Pencils. It's Tuesday night, 844-967-2789. More when we get back.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Follow Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
The Devil's Advocates.
Mitch McConnell did make a public statement, right? After he voted to acquit.
No, nothing says the president can't be prosecuted.
Set the example for your caucus.
Convince your caucus as to why the man is not fit to serve. How do you not use your leadership? Say, you guys, this is crazy. We can't do this, and here is exactly why. Because now of the two major political parties, one of them is under the thumb of a fascist insurrectionist.
Follow The Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things that people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Here's your Mad Radio forecast. Lows around 48. Tonight, under mainly clear skies, southeast winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Mainly sunny skies and calm again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 78. Lows around 52. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy. Temps a bit above average Thursday and Friday, with highs from the mid-70s to the upper 70s. Chance for scattered thunderstorms Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 69 degrees.
Continue the conversation online. Find and follow Civic Media on Facebook and on Twitter.
What if I'm righting you a wrong? What if you knew it all along? What if I figured out that I did not belong? What if it always bothered me? What if I never take the lead? Would it be wrong if I decided I should leave?
It would be absolutely wrong if you decided to leave Busted Pencils fully leaded education talk. The number is 844-967-2789. Breaking down the first half of the show, Alfie Cohn, our guest, talking about, hey, remembering stuff. Guess what? We don't remember a lot of stuff. Johnny, though, you were talking about something with pizza.
Yeah, before, man, I'm remembering.
Before the break. Okay, remember out loud for us, man.
Remembering about pizzas and TV. So I got a story for you, Tim, when you talk about assessment, right? And when we talk about, I was saying we jam-packed kids' brains full of facts, right? Like we've really upped the ante. And that's what this assessment plan has been about, is every couple of years seeing where we're at as a nation. What are the scores, right? Mm-hmm. And we are talking about things like learning loss, or I would say like media in general, or experts are labeling this moment as learning loss, because what they've done is followed a line. And that line was increasing and increasing because as a nation, what we said is we got to do more. We got to do more. We got to do more. We can do more. We can pack kids' brains full of more. And what I had said before is we borrowed from application and we took away from spending time together applying what we were learning in ways that would translate to real life skills, right? And that's a really valuable piece. You can pack your brain full of knowledge. We called it back in the day, where we'd call it, right, being book smart. You can be book smart, but if you're not street smart, what are you? Right. You're and dumb. So there's a balance between these two things. So, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell a story about pizzas and TVs, Tim, because it helps break down why this is so absurd. All right. I used to manage at a pizza place. I won't name the pizza place. I love that pizza place a lot. It's a Detroit favorite, and it's all around the country. So you can get one hot and ready whenever you want. But man, I loved making pizzas. Right. And so, in the pizza industry, you know, which is a business, right? They want you to sell more pizzas. Mm. So they do all kinds of advertising, do all kinds of things to get you to sell more pizzas. Well, as a manager of a pizza restaurant, you can make more money if you make quota, right? If you sell a certain number of projections for what they want you to sell at your shop in terms of pizzas, right? Mm. So it's good, sort of good business 101. Let's set some goals and let's reach those goals. When you reach them, sometimes you get a bonus, right? So you work real hard and you do all kinds of extra things because you're like, you know what? I want that bonus. And you know what? It'd be great to reach our sales goals and we're going to sell more pizzas. And we do what we can. We get people outside spinning signs. We get all kinds of, you know, marketing and ads and all kinds of customer service. Everyone's chipping in. And, you know, the salaried folks, the non-hourly and some of the hourly too, but especially the salary folks, like, you know what? I'm going to do extra because reaching those sales goals is going to help our business. It's going to help us get there. And so we work as hard as we can to sell as many pizzas as we can. We're making lots of pizzas. We're selling lots of pizzas. And you know what? We do it and we throw a big party and we're super excited because you know what? We sold more pizzas than ever. We reached our goal. You know what comes after that, Tim?
Mm-hmm.
A higher goal.
Oh.
Well, then I get my new projections and I'm supposed to sell more pizzas. I'm like, oh my God, Tim, we're going to do this. Okay, rally the troops. We can do it. You know what comes after we reach that goal? A higher goal. You know what happens? At a certain point, we can't possibly make or sell more pizzas. And you know what happens then?
You're a failure.
Yeah. And same thing. TVs, same business. I have a really close friend at the same time as I was, you know, making and selling pizzas. They were selling TVs. Same plan. All right. At a place where you could find a really good buy. All right. And so what would happen is they would sell awesome TVs and they would say, you know what, we're going to sell a bunch of TVs. And I think folks listening probably get the gist of it. Yeah. They bent over backwards and sold a whole lot of TVs, came back with the next quarter's projections, higher, sell more TVs. Hold on a minute, though, Tim. At least pizza people eat it and want more. A TV, I mean, what do you got to do? You just got a new TV. Everyone's not buying a new TV. So here we go with the absurdity of sort of capitalism 101 or, you know, business projections and the business model. It doesn't map on to education. I'm not here to critique it in the business world. If that's what we want to do with selling pizzas and TVs, great, right? We'll do that. But in learning, it doesn't work. And that's where we're at. We're looking at a thing called learning loss because we've jacked up the numbers higher than the people. If we look at the people writing articles on learning loss, scored lower than the students that are taking these tests now when they were that age.
That's it. I mean, and that's it. Talking about bring it all the way back to that is the quote, when we, you know, measure learning loss, you know, and what we heard over the pandemic and over the NAEP scores now, too, is that, you know, over two years, there was a drop. The reality, though, too, is that, first of all, even if you want to use those gauges, you got to look 20, 30 years and you'll see. Largely, there's some form of a growth up. It's just a projection in time. But Johnny, you made me think though about the pizza thing and the fact of going, you know, you could do better. There were things that they would do to potentially help you to do better. And now I think though about learning, and the reality is that we still continue to allow children to live at home in poverty, rural poverty, suburban poverty, urban poverty, Maslow's hierarchy, food, safety, medical conditions. We don't care about those things. We don't. And so if I say to a teacher, I want you to increase remembering, and then when I say I want you to increase remembering, I then say, but I'm not going to do anything on my side as a policymaker other than make a rule that says I want you to increase remembering on the kids, that I refuse to create policies that would give them the food that they need, the shelter that they need, the healthcare that they need, that maybe even we could, quote, bump up the scores, because now at least we're going to be working with healthy, you know, children. Right. And so we're thinking about that. This is getting really late on the time here, but it's just one of those perplexing issues to me that comes across, that even if we do want the goal to be remembering, we refuse as a nation to look at the state of the conditions in which our kids and our families live, the outside of school factors, the realities that are happening in the streets, street smart, and that could be farm smart, street smart, whatever, mountain smart, all of those issues, those are significant issues. And so when we get there, again, let's break it down, busted pencils, fully leaded. See you next week.
Yes.
Want more busted pencils? Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Busted Pencils, or log on to bustedpencils.com for blogs, podcasts, and more. Join us again next Tuesday for Busted Pencils on Devil Radio 92.7.
Are record high energy and water costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With inflation rising at record levels and incomes not keeping pace, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive. While you may not ask for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to be without heat, water, or power. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-273-8255.
800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.heat.help. That's www.heat.help.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.